We are in the most critical time since the American Civil War.
In fact, the Greek word for stress, you all know perilous times. That word is literally stress-filled times. What does the world right now say we are in? Stress-filled times.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries, radio for the remnant. Today, a radio favorite begins a two-part series with us, Michelle Bachmann. Michelle ran for president of the United States in 2012. We are at a turning point. The left has plans to steal our election in November. Can you push back against this darkness? Yes. And we'll tell you how in our programming. Here are Jan Markell and Michelle Bachmann.
James O'Keefe back here on the ground in Minneapolis. Our undercover journalists at Project Veritas have just exposed a voter fraud ring so widespread that many members of the Somali community here consider it an open secret. Many believe if this corruption continues, there'll be no more free elections. And our sources inside the Somali community here allege that the architect of this pay-for-vote scheme is none other than U.S. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Project Veritas has received an explosive piece of tape. The tape you're about to see shows a man buying a registration form for an absentee ballot from a voter, giving him, quote, pocket money, unquote, of $200 and expecting to collect his ballot when the voter receives it.
Well, I'm so glad you can join me for today's programming, and with a couple of teases that we've run here, including James O'Keefe. I think, you know, we've got a cutting-edge topic and guest with Michelle Bachmann. I've had Michelle on a dozen times over the years, and you write to me and say that she's perhaps my favorite radio guest that I feature when I can. As anyone who's an observer of the times knows, perhaps the most important election in the history of modern civilization is about to take place in a few weeks. Michelle has been very active in campaigning. She's been stumping for President Donald Trump. Had Michelle on in April, and we talked about corona. The concern that is the cure worse than the problem is the shutdown of society in the Western world, almost 200 countries. Is that warranted in light of a virus kind of on the level of the flu, perhaps a little more serious or contagious? Michelle, welcome back to the program.
Jan, thank you so much. What a full show we're going to have.
Oh, I know. Well, we'll do the best we can to make proper use of the time, but I am going back to April. We talked heavily, almost exclusively, for one program out of two at that time about what was going on in America. And you said to me, is in fact the cure worse than the illness? The cure being shut down, the cure being closing down the economy, et cetera. Give me your thoughts now, many months later.
Many months later, the devastation, sadly, continues to go on in terms of our economy, in terms of family relationships, mm-hmm. in terms of education. We haven't even fully appreciated all of the businesses that have gone out of business. We read some headlines. It has been devastating, particularly with a lot of people who lost their life savings, everything right. they had with the business that they poured themselves into. Some did quite well, particularly the big monopolies, some of the big box retailers, because what we saw is that government officials took extraordinary power. And they would take a magic wand and say, it's okay if you visit Walmart. Mm-hmm. It's okay if you go to Target. But you can't go to your local dealer of whatever it is that you want to buy. Only these guys. Or you're allowed to go to an abortion clinic. You can go to a casino. You can get marijuana. But you can't go to church. You can't go to other places that they keep you from going to. And it's completely upended American life. This has gone on for so long that I've seen people despair. I personally know of two people who have committed suicide. I know of older people who died alone
right.
without their family members. And it's been devastating for the family members who weren't allowed to go and be with their loved one. Every one of your listeners on this call has a story about how they've personally been impacted. So 2020, Jan, has been a year unlike any other of judgment in the United States.
You sent me a magazine cover, and I want to reference it, and I'm not really leaving the topic here of corona and the slip into totalitarianism that we see really around the world. This is an American issue exclusively, of course. The cover of the Forbes magazine was a banner and a headline, Reimagining Capitalism, Our Blueprint for a New American Dream. And I just have to conclude that the new American dream is an America without capitalism. I go back to Barack Obama. We're going to fundamentally transform America. In other words, take away freedom and impose. My only conclusion is socialism / even Marxism on America. Is that the way you're reading this Forbes magazine cover, that capitalism is outdated? We need to toss it out and replace it with what?
That goes along with the Green New Deal. It goes along with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It goes along with Joe Biden and the 2020 Democrat platform, because they are looking at a reimagining. Mm-hmm. You heard that word over and over in 2020. We have to reimagine the police. In other words, get rid of the police and hand the brains of police work over to local subgroups to run and control our streets, making them less safe. When it comes to the economy, this isn't just Forbes magazine. All you have to do is go to the World Economic Forum, which people hear about. They meet twice a year in Davos, Switzerland. It's the elite of the elite in the world, and they collaborate on where they want the world to go. And really, in a lot of ways, I would have to say they've kind of replaced the UN's goals. The UN was a body that was trying to have a subterfuge of looking toward one world government. They've really exposed themselves for the empty husk of a vessel that they are. The power center has actually moved to the World Economic Forum, and I encourage your listeners, go on their website, worldeconomicforum.org. We're not just making this up. They're pretty blatant about it. They have a thing that they call Global Reset 2020.
Michelle, let me just say the website is weforum.org. And I'm going by memory, so I think it's weforum.org. But go ahead.
Okay. They call for Global Reset 2020.
That's right.
Realize that's only about 3 months away from now. They are calling for globally, not just in the United States, getting rid of currency in all of the nations in the world and instead replacing it with a global currency. Mm-hmm. Well, if you replace it with a global currency, just in the last few weeks, we've seen there was the biggest hack ever into health insurance companies. There's hacks all the time in various businesses. So if you have all of your money in digital currency, you can easily see that there could be a hack into your bank account, and all of a sudden you could be wiped out, and what are you going to do? It's digital currency. You can't have it under your bed. Gold wouldn't be the same because you couldn't use gold for currency or any other item. So this is really a profound issue because it puts the control over how much money we have potentially in the hands of elites to make decisions over that currency. And then also consider this. Because of coronavirus, there's been a depleting of income and wealth creation in various nations across the world, including in the United States. We've added $8, $9 trillion to the Fed's balance sheet this year. That's unprecedented. We've never, ever added that much debt. Because of that, I believe that what the World Economic Forum is pushing toward is having countries so stretched out financially that they would collapse. They have no possible way to pay their bills. Well, if that would happen with a few of these great countries, that there would be a collapse with their governments, then you could see that there could be a financial system where the digital currency would be equalized. Well, now there's a collapse. It's a crisis. We have to equalize everybody's digital bank account. Truly, you get to the point of having what they've dreamed for all along, which is global redistribution of wealth. That's all that climate change was about. Climate change was about creating a global tax so that we could redistribute it to other nations. That was taking too long. No one has bought into that yet.
Right.
So this is one way to bring this about quicker. Digital currency.
Well, global government is on the horizon. Global government is predicted in the Bible. When I read this magazine cover you sent me, which is talking about reimagining capitalism, our blueprint for a new American dream, frankly, folks, I believe it's the New World Order on the horizon. First of all, I believe the church is going to be gone when a one-world system comes into play. If that's on the horizon, then the church's departure is also on the horizon. In the interest of time, Michelle, I'm kind of moving on here because we opened the programming with a little bit of a tease there from James O'Keefe, and that's Project Veritas. One of your burdens, and boy, I've talked to you privately, and I know what a burden it is, and that is campaign 2020, the November 3rd election, would come off free and fair. The more I'm reading, the more I'm hearing about voter fraud, Ground zero seems to be Minnesota. Folks, pray for Michelle and I. This is where we headquarter. It may not be the safest place on earth. So appreciate your prayers, and I mean that in all sincerity. But Michelle, we've got the Red-Green Alliance here in Minnesota. That means both Islam and communism came together here some years ago now. Communism probably a century ago, Islam 30 years ago. We now have 100,000 approximately Somalis. We've also got ballot harvesting, voter fraud. My goodness, could go into extensively. Talk to me a little bit about some of your concerns as it concerns the upcoming election, potential voter fraud. I've got a couple of clips I want to play, but go ahead.
This is what the whole election is about. I was observing what a different election this was from any other election. Usually the two parties focus on persuasion. You want to persuade voters for your candidate based upon your political policies and what you intend to accomplish. That's normally how it works for both parties. This year is decidedly different. The Republican Party has tended to go down the traditional path of focusing on persuasion, accomplishments from the president or from his political party, and where he is going to go in the future and what those accomplishments are and what the policies are. You saw a lot of that at the convention. If your listeners viewed the Republican convention versus the Democrat convention on television, you heard a lot about policy on the Republican convention. The Democrat convention, you didn't hear as much about policy. And that's because this year, it's very strange, but the Democrat Party is focusing on process, not on persuasion. What I mean is, and I'm sure your listeners will recognize this, and I say this with all due respect, not in any mocking tone at all, Joe Biden, from my observation, has been the non-essential candidate. He's the non-essential candidate this year, and I say that because it doesn't bother his campaign team at all that he's been off the campaign trail. For instance, in the month of September, one of the highest months of activity in a presidential year, he's been at home, and he hasn't been seen 40% of the days. And that's never happened before, and neither has his running mate, Kamala Harris. How could that be that this is what you're selling, so to speak, is this individual and his running mate to lead the free world, and we don't hear from them? What policies has he been promoting? It's all about process. What is that process? In the last few months, unconstitutionally, whether it's governors, whether it's secretaries of state, whether it's judges, they've changed the voting laws by themselves. Our United States Constitution prohibits that. It says only state legislatures are permitted to establish the voting laws in a state. No one else is allowed to. But this summer, unconstitutionally, various individuals changed the voting laws to put into place mail-in voting, what I call cheat-by-mail voting, in order to create conditions for fraud to steal the election. This isn't just a Republican accusing a Democrat. This is demonstrable. This is completely objective to show what it is they've done. Never before in the history of America have we seen all of our voting laws in various states change so that 70-some percent of the American population will be able to vote by mail. This has never happened before, and it's all done, Jan, under the context of COVID. We've all been told it's too dangerous to go to the polls. We can go to Walmart. We can go to a grocery store, but we're not allowed to go to a voting place. So they want us to vote by mail. That's the pretext for cheap by mail voting.
Folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. And I'm having my, I think it's a fifth update from Michelle Bachmann here in 2020. You know why? Because it's been a bizarre year that needs some explaining just because we are in strange times. We're in very perilous times, folks. I think you figured that much out. The other angle, Michelle, we're not leaving the voter fraud, but another equation is the role that big tech is playing. This is Mark Zuckerberg. He's the head of Facebook. Many of my listeners are on Facebook. This is what one of the biggest tech titans is saying about our upcoming election.
In our exclusive interview with Mark Zuckerberg yesterday, he told us that the tech giant will prohibit new political ads in the week before the election. He also says the company is preparing for potential disputes over election results.
One of the things that I'm quite worried about after Election Day is that since it may take additional time for the votes to get counted this year, especially with mail-in voting, there's a greater chance of civil unrest and violence after the election. You know, some people expected there to be an answer to who won the election on election night. I don't think we're necessarily going to get that. And I think it's important that we start preparing people now, that there's nothing illegitimate about taking a few extra days or even weeks in order to make sure that all the votes get counted. In fact, it would be illegitimate if we didn't make sure that all of the ballot votes were counted.
Now, let me just add some comment here from a fellow by the name of Alam Bukhari. I believe he's from India. He's writing on Breitbart. He's an exposer of what big tech plans to do for this coming election and already has done. He writes this, "But cheat by mail isn't the only factor that could make this a rigged election." This is Mr. Bukhari. He says, "As Zuckerberg no doubt knows, big tech's stranglehold on the flow of information will also manipulate votes in favor of the left. In interviews for my book, Deleted, Big Tech's Battle to Erase the Trump Movement and Steal the Election," Mr. Bukhari goes on to say, "sources inside Facebook, Google, and other big tech companies spoke of a relentless effort inside Silicon Valley to harness technology to prevent the re-election of Donald Trump, often in ways that can't be detected from the outside. Over the past 4 years, Facebook has banned countless pro-Trump voices from its platform, preventing some of the president's most vocal and effective supporters from spreading their message to voters on Facebook." And then I'm going to conclude this quote that I'm taking from Mr. Bukhari. "Twitter, like Facebook, says it will censor politicians that claim an early victory," quote unquote, "an early victory on election night, a measure clearly announced in anticipation of large numbers of mail-in votes not being counted until after the election." Michelle, with the clips and the quotes here from Bukhari talking to you, my conclusion is that coming to a firm decision election night, November 3rd, may be, apart from a complete miracle, impossible.
That's how it is in the natural.
In the natural.
That's why we need to be in prayer. This is all by design, and this is what I meant when earlier in the program I said that I had started to put the puzzle pieces together, and you have mentioned a few of these puzzle pieces. One is the cheat by mail voting, many, many fraudulent examples that we may yet go through on this show. Mm-hmm. I think it would be important that we do. But also this fact of the tech censorship. Your listeners probably recall seeing on television a hearing where I believe it was Senator Ted Cruz who brought in an individual who was very good
on metrics. Mr. Epstein.
Yes, and actually Mr. Epstein is a Democrat, but he was so offended by what he saw happening in Silicon Valley, whether it was Google, Apple, Facebook, Twitter, intentionally shifting the voter towards certain information and away from others. Jan, that's happened to you. Yeah. You've also had your shows taken down.
Absolutely.
And you've had it so that if these sources don't like what you have to say, they take it down. They see themselves as the arbiters of truth, not you. They are deniers of free speech. It is completely anti-American. And I would also add, they are protected against lawsuits because they're not called publishers. Well, that's all they are. So that's something that has to be changed in federal law. But this is one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle because today we communicate through social media, through Facebook in various forms. And if they are altering what we see, if they are calling misinformation the truth and prohibiting us from seeing it, and they're already warning us that on Facebook, for instance, the week before the election, when people are making up their minds usually at the last moment, guess who won't be allowed to have their information on? They're telling us it's Donald Trump, it's Republicans. You won't be allowed to see that. Well, they might argue, oh, well, Joe Biden won't either. Really? How much do you think that's going to happen? Everything that I have seen so far is to tilt the scale in favor of the non-essential candidate, Joe Biden, because they don't need him as a candidate. They just need people to vote down that Democrat column. And instead, it's like they're tying cement blocks on every Republican effort so that those efforts are thwarted. This is, again, what I saw, and I think I mentioned that to you offline, Jan. I was almost getting to the point of despair because every single day I was reading how whether it's the tech giants or whether it was stealing through the election through vote by mail, all of these things are being put into place to make it virtually impossible for Donald Trump to be reelected. I don't despair, however, because I do believe that God is hearing our prayers for a true vote, that the true way that people want to vote, that will be revealed, because the whole purpose of this civil unrest in the streets under the pretext of coronavirus is to create two things, Jan, chaos and confusion. That's really what the left is putting forward on the ballot this year, chaos and confusion. They don't want a result on election night.
Right.
They want to delay because they want to win this election through lawsuits in the courtroom, and lawsuits never go fast. They want to delay this until after January 20th, when Donald Trump would be forced to leave the White House. Your listeners have seen on TV already with Nancy Pelosi,
yes,
and various Democrats saying, will you leave the White House?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to leave the White House. They're already building this expectation that Mark Zuckerberg taught us. In fact, on that clip, he said, well, this is just normal. This has never happened
before. It's not normal at all.
This is not normal. And he's trying to downplay the fact that in America, we can't know the results on election night. Absolutely we can. We did 4 years ago. Supposedly technology should be better now than it was 4 years ago. We can easily know what the results are.
All right. In a worst-case scenario, and we don't know, let's say going into January 20th, explain to us what does happen. Does Nancy Pelosi step in as President Pelosi? Help us understand what could happen.
You're asking the question that nobody would ever want to ask, which is instability. Are
mm-hmm.
you telling me that in America in 2020, going into 21, we wouldn't have a result weeks into this, destabilizing our country,
yeah,
putting us in a situation of vulnerability to foreign aggression? This is not a small thing. This is a major league thing. And realize, this is artificially induced. We didn't have to have all of this subterfuge through cheap-by-mail voting. We didn't have to have all of this censorship through the Silicon Valley telling us what to think and how we're supposed to vote. None of this had to happen. But they put it in place because they don't have enough confidence in their own team, in Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and all the Democrats on down the line. They don't have enough confidence in them. And worse, they don't have confidence in us. They don't trust us to vote for their Democrat candidates. They hate democracy.
They do.
They want to tell us what the outcome will be.
Then we have Hillary Clinton saying things like this. Doesn't help.
On election day, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch. And if we are as focused and relentless as the other side is.
They're lining up from Hillary Clinton on down. The marching orders are there. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about the voter fraud and about what folks can do about voter fraud. We'll do that as soon as we get into my second half of the programming here. Why are they running a Mr. Joe Biden as their pick out of, I think they had 20 candidates, this is a year ago now, and they narrowed it down to Mr. Biden when, you know, he's got some mental challenges going on?
Because at the end of the day, it really didn't matter to the left who the candidate was going to be, because Forbes magazine, August issue, Reimagining Capitalism, the World Economic Forum,
mm-hmm.
they're the big bosses. They're the ones who are telling us where this whole thing is going to go with the digital currency,
yeah,
and global governance. That's the intention. So they really don't care who the president is. They just wanted somebody who's compliant. Out of all of those candidates who are on the stage in the Democrat Party, who was the most compliant person up there who could be easily managed? And again, I mean no disrespect, he's been called the sock puppet candidate, the Trojan horse
mm-hmm.
candidate, the non-essential candidate, because no one really thinks, after looking at Joe Biden, with all due respect, that mentally he's going to be in a position of having a strong mind and a strong physical constitution, be able to do the work of being president. That's a very tough job. Does anyone think a Fortune 500 company would
mm-hmm.
hire a 78-year-old Joe Biden to run their company? I don't think so. If you wouldn't hire him for a Fortune 500 company, why would you hire him to run the economic and military superpower of the world? Do we honestly think he could stand up to Putin or to Chairman Xi or to the Iranian mullahs. No one thinks that. Well, his track record is terrible.
And you bring out a good point. You referenced it a few minutes ago, and that is that our enemies are watching what's going on. Who are our enemies? We've got Iran, we've got China, we've got Russia, we've got North Korea, we got lots more. But those first three, anyway, are powerhouses that we need to be very concerned about. And they would love that we would fall into this kind of chaos, sort of with no one in charge, at least for a matter of weeks and could even be a matter of months. Michelle, that's kind of a terrifying thought. Folks, what we're going to do is, I promise you, so far we've been kind of on the dark side. We do have good news to talk about, too, and we're going to get to that here eventually. Some very, very good news. Did you know there were as many as 200,000 and maybe 250,000 believers who descended on Washington, D.C.? This is back on September the 26th to try to turn the tide, to pray righteousness into our government, into our nation. And some amazing things happened that day. We'll get to that eventually, but I wanted to set the stage as to just why we even need to be having days of repentance and prayer for the country, because we're at a crossroads. We really are. Now, you may have heard that before, various places, including this program. I mean, we've got a spiritual war going on. That's kind of the heart of it all. So what do we do in a case like that? What do we do when we see voter fraud on the horizon? We've got voter fraud going on even as we speak. How can you as a listener combat this kind of voter fraud? We're going to get into that as well. There's no shortage of things to talk about from my friend Michelle, who is never without an opinion and without some great insight into the tide of our times, our perilous times. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Why haven't we had mail-in ballots for the last 230 years? Maybe the reason is mail-in ballots are an invitation to widespread fraud and manipulation. And if you want to rattle people's faith in the system that we've had for centuries, maybe you would do that. I don't know. Tom Fitton's thought a lot about it. He's president of Judicial Watch. He joins us tonight. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
So it's just so interesting. In a moment like this, people gravitate towards solutions that make you wonder, particularly when they all align behind one solution, it makes you wonder, like, why are they all for this? I mean, maybe it's a good idea, maybe it's not, but why are they for it, do you think?
I think they want to set up a system that makes it easier to steal elections. They don't want mail-in voting the way people understand it. There's already widely available absentee ballots, absentee voting available to Americans, and that obviously should maybe be more widely available if this contagion continues in the fall. But they don't like that because a lot of the states, or too many of the states, actually require you to send an ID in with your absentee ballot. And they want to overturn that. So this plan is to overturn the voter ID laws in 35 states, have mailing to lists that are dirty. We just sued today in North Carolina. They have, according to our analysis, about 1 million, nearly 1 million inactive voters. Most people who hadn't voted since, let's say, 2014. So are we going to start mailing inactive voters, people who died or move away, ballots? It's an open invitation for ballot fraud and voter fraud. And look, the safest way to vote, if you want secure voting, is in person, private. When you take that away, it's anything goes. And, of course, they want to add ballot harvesting to it, where they would allow third parties to go around, bang on doors, and collect ballots.
Welcome back. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm so pleased to have as my guest Michelle Bachman. She represented Minnesota's 6th District for a number of years. She ran for president of the United States in 2012. Many of us were quite glued to our televisions in 2012 with a very intriguing lineup of candidates back then, and many of us were hoping that Michelle would prevail. Before I head into a deeper analysis here of the voter fraud scheme, Michelle and I are from the Twin Cities. We are heartbroken that our skyline doesn't look like it used to. It's been burned down, and I'm not exaggerating, at least portions of Minneapolis and portions of St. Paul. At least one person died in all of the looting and the burning that began. That was May 25th. Michelle, you said something interesting to me that I actually did a whole segment on air about, with Eric Barger and Jill Martin Rishi. This is perhaps 6 weeks ago. That is the influence of the surroundings that you pointed out to me, that the George Floyd incident of May 25th was right on the heels, a day or two after Minneapolis celebrated Islam for an entire month.
Well, that's right, Jan. CARE, which is a Muslim Brotherhood front group, used the pretext of coronavirus. They went to the Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Frey, and they said, it is Ramadan for Muslims. We can't get together and break fast at the end of the evening, so we want to do something that will allow us all to be inclusive and be together. We want to have the Muslim call to prayer broadcast across the streets of Minneapolis 5 times a day, beginning before sunrise, ending after sunset, just like they do it in Islamic countries for the month of Ramadan. Jacob Frey said, sounds good to me, and he let the Muslim call to prayer be broadcast. This is in praise of their God, Allah. So from our perspective, Allah is not the same God as the God of the Bible. Allah would be a false God. And never before in American history had any major metropolitan city allowed the Islamic call to prayer be broadcast 5 times a day, crying out praise to a false God. This happened throughout the month of Ramadan. It ended on the Saturday just before Memorial Weekend in 2020. And on Monday, May 25th, that is the day that the tragedy regarding George Floyd happened. And that is the spark that began the civil unrest right in the streets of America that is ongoing to this
ongoing day. And I'm not sure when it's going to die down in their perfect world, that is the left. They would like to have it extended for months and months here. And in the process, Kamala Harris sent out, I believe it's a tweet, if you're able, chip in now to the Minnesota Freedom Fund to help post bail for those protesting on the ground in Minnesota, burning it to the ground, at which time some were killed. I think you sent me this, though I'd heard about it before that, Michelle, this Kamala Harris tweet.
This is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, for Jan and I living in Minneapolis, the listeners need to know this was 5 miles of businesses that were burned down and destroyed, and looters going in and stealing and destroying everything in sight. You can't even imagine. In all of American history, this was the second worst riot after the Rodney King riot. This was not a small thing. This was huge. So in the middle, the buildings were still burning. The looting was still going on. And the Democrat vice presidential candidate is instructing people to send money to bail out the rioters, the arsonists, the murderers. I couldn't believe this. And those on Joe Biden's presidential campaign were sending money to bail out those who were destroying Minneapolis and St. Paul. They were paying the lawless so that they could get back out on the streets. And that's exactly what happened. People would burn down a building. They would go into the jail. They'd have their fines paid for. And literally overnight, this fund had like $10 million in it. And they were back out on the street the next day, burning down another building, knocking over an innocent disabled woman. She was sitting in a wheelchair trying to prevent people from looting a Target. And they were beating her in her head, and they were firing things at her face. It was just the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen. Those were the people, the Joe Biden staffers and Kamala Harris, the Democrat vice presidential candidate, were bailing out of jail so they could get back on Minneapolis streets to destroy some more. They were funding lawlessness.
They're funding everything that's satanic. Let's be blunt. What's going on is satanic. It's absolute evil, and it needs to stop. And I think it only stops when God intervenes. Talking to Michelle Bachman for the hour. You've heard her on Understanding the Times Radio numerous times. Let's help folks understand, Michelle, a little bit better. Just how on earth is this voter fraud being perpetrated as we speak, as this is being aired? The voter fraud is happening, and we opened the whole program with a clip. James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, he's the one who's uncovered the Minneapolis connection. Michelle, let's go back to the scheme of the voter fraud folks. Help my listeners better understand.
It's happening right now as people are listening to this broadcast, and it's been ongoing for the last several months. In the last 4 elections, according to federal election data, since 2012, over 28 million mail-in ballots have gone missing in every election cycle of the last 4 cycles. There's 24 million people who are ineligible, who shouldn't be allowed to vote. and they're registered on state voter rolls. So they should all be purged off the rolls. But what these states have done is they don't care who lives at a residence. They are dumping ballots on every single home in various mm-hmm. states, and whoever is there can fill them out or not fill them out. But the ballot harvesting is that a third-party person comes to your house, and that's what Project Veritas showed, that people would go to senior citizen centers. The ballots never got to the elderly. The ballots just went to this person who came and said, hey, give me the ballots. Here's $200. You give me the ballots, I'll fill them out, and then I'll get them in to the person who's supposed to count them. So that's what ballot harvesting means.
Okay.
It means that there's maybe a drop-off box not run by the state. That ballot could go in there, and a third-party person takes those ballots. They could open them up, see how you vote. You voted Republican, they throw it out. If it's Democrat, they reseal it up. They give it back to the official place. Or in the case of Ilhan Omar, it's actually on tape. They show $200 being given to a guy in exchange for his ballot. He was bragging, saying, my car is filled mm-hmm. with all these ballots, and he's getting money for every single ballot. They're going house to house. I would say less than 2 weeks ago, I read a headline in the Minneapolis paper that said, in air quotes, a huge number of mail-in ballots was requested for Minneapolis. So let's say I requested 45 ballots at my house. You could do that. Request 45 ballots. And then I sell those ballots mm-hmm. to a third person. They give me the money. They take the ballots. They fill them out however they want to. And then those ballots go in. The cheating is done even before Election Day. They have all of these ballots sitting there that they've filled out just the way they want. Election Day comes. People go to the polls and they vote. And they find out, let's see, Donald Trump won here in this precinct. How much did he win by? Oh, he won by 500 votes. Okay, bring me 1,000 votes that we ballot harvested. It's a math game. So we'll put in those 1,000 ballots. Okay, now Donald Trump just lost by 500 votes rather than winning by 500. That's how it's being accomplished. So, for instance, in the last election in 2018, there were, I believe, 5 or 6 congressional seats in Orange County, California, and they were all won on election night. But over the next days, as they counted these, quote, fake mail-in ballots, they got all the ballots they needed. And guess what? Every single race was lost. It was won by people who came to vote, but all the phony ballots flooded and diminished the real vote so that at the end of the day, Orange County, which was all Republican, today in the U.S. Congress is all Democrat because those races were all stolen. Also on the clip, Jan, it is shocking, but an individual from the Somali community states the reason why they're paying people for ballots is because it's all about defunding Israel. That's what's important for your listeners to know, because they could choose somebody else from the Somali community to sit in this seat, but they want her because she's dedicated to defunding Israel. So one of the head people in the Muslim community is saying that on this tape, and it's absolutely shocking.
Very interesting. Appreciate that extra insight. So they're targeting certain states, particularly that President Trump won in 2016, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Talk to us a little bit about how they're targeting these states. And then I want you to talk a little bit about Minnesota, which has forever and ever been a blue state. That's in the process of changing. But talk to us about these targeted states.
North Carolina, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin all went for Donald Trump. They have all been targeted. They want to make sure that those electoral votes don't go to Donald Trump or the down ticket races, whether it's Senate, House. They don't want those seats to go Republican either. So what they're saying now, this has never happened before, they're saying that they are going to accept ballots for up to 9 days after the election. So they're ensuring chaos, which also has national security risks that go with it, as we said. Yeah. They're going to keep accepting ballots for 9 days after the election, and they're also establishing these ballot drop-off stations that aren't controlled by the county or the official election sites, but it's a ballot drop-off stations. Let's say you requested 30 ballots to come to your home. That's obviously illegal. So you're going to take them and drop them off at this box, and then they'll be, quote, harvested and taken to the actual site where they're going to count votes at the end, and then all of these illegal ballots then will be counted if they need to have them to get the final result that they want. And remember, again, the whole pretext for mail-in voting was coronavirus. It's too dangerous to go vote in person, so that's why we have to do this. So, for instance, in North Carolina, they're counting all the ballots that are postmarked and received 9 days after the election. So we're all supposed to sit here. We have election day. We turn on our TV thinking we're going to hear a result. How can we? Because there's an additional 9 days in Michigan, another 9 days in North Carolina, another 9 days in Pennsylvania. We're all having to continue this agony of not having a result. They also are allowing the voters to correct rejected ballots. Somehow the ballot wasn't filled out right. They'll call you up and say, oh, you did something wrong on your ballot. You can come in and redo your ballot. We've never done that before. Ballot drop-off stations, like I mentioned, where third-party people pick these ballots up, anybody can turn in anybody's ballot. They could change it. They could throw it out. They could fill it in for them, and that's already happened. There were trays of ballots that were found in a ditch in Wisconsin. There were mail bags found in a parking lot in California. There were military ballots that had been opened in Pennsylvania and weren't counted because they were voting for Trump. So if someone goes into, let's say, a very highly Republican area and they pick up these mail-in ballots, they could just throw them away. We have examples of anti-Trump postal workers where if they're picking up the mail in a Republican district, they take the mail-in votes, they just assume that the great overwhelming number would be Republican, and they just toss them out. This is extremely concerning, and in Minnesota, we have what I believe, unfortunately, was the most egregious situation. The Constitution states in Article 1, Section 4, that the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. Judges can't change voting law. A Secretary of State can't change it. A governor can't change it. But in Minnesota, 2 days before voting started, Jan, our Secretary of State made an agreement with himself that he would change the voting law. And what's the voting law now in Minnesota? You can vote up to 8 days after the election if you want to. You don't have to have any witness on your ballot to show who you are. No voter ID, no notary. And in Minnesota, no other state does this. You don't even need a postmark. So what this means, Jan, is if somebody wanted to, they could just print up their own ballots and they could fill them all out the way they want to. Nobody'd ever know the difference. And then you just have boxes and boxes of ballots sitting there so that at the end of the day, who's ever doing the counting, you're allowed to take all these other ballots and say, how many more votes do we need? Okay, let's pour them in. We'll get our result. That's the state of Minnesota. We've never, ever done that before. So now there's lawsuits that are filed in these states saying, hey, this was unconstitutional. You didn't have the right to put this into place. So what does that mean? That means that that ties this issue up into the courts. That could be months and months. So this is a mess. And again, what are the two pillars that you and I talked about earlier? Their whole ball game is chaos and confusion. That's the intent. This isn't a surprise. This is what they planned. They want chaos and confusion for this election so we won't have a result, so that Donald Trump will be forced out of the White House January 20th. It throws the whole thing up in the air, and they have full confidence that they can put this before a phony judge in these various states and get the result they want, which is a Joe Biden presidency. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line, she happens to be calling in here from the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., Michelle Bachmann. She ran for president of the United States in 2012. She served Minnesota's 6th District for a number of years, starting in 2007. Now, I had asked Michelle, what can the average listener do? She gave me some bullet points. I'll just give a few here because I have a feeling some of you are sitting at home or in your car or wherever you're listening, thinking, oh my, this is a hopeless scenario. There's nothing I can do. This is surely bringing about the demise of the country. Well, that's in God's hands, and the timing and all that is in God's hands. As we open the program, global government, it's just over the horizon, one world system. Church will be gone when that happens. Perhaps the Lord's return is more imminent than we think, like any minute. But here's a few things she said to me. Talk about voter fraud to others. In other words, share some of the things being talked about here. Pray that God expose the fraud and corruption. Number three, if you get phony ballots in the mail, rip them up. Number four, best to vote in person. You can go in anytime. You can go in today. Or absentee ballot if necessary. Number five, if you see something, say something. Number six, pray there is a conclusion on election night. That is looking like it will take an utter act of God for there to be a conclusion on election night. Michelle, let's talk about that for a moment here. What about a conclusion on election night? What I hear you saying, only an act of God would allow that to happen. And what would that be? A landslide type of a victory or what?
I think a landslide victory would do that. I am urging every one of your listeners, if you possibly can do it, vote in person. Mm-hmm. That is the best way to safeguard that your vote will be counted. Please go in person. I firmly believe that there won't be a risk to your health. Only you can know that. But I'll give you one example. In the Wisconsin primary this year, 400,000 people voted across the state. Only 52 people after voting had contracted coronavirus. Mm-hmm. That may have had nothing to do with voting. Mm-hmm. But of those 52, there were no fatalities. It is less than a 0.02% chance that there was any problem related with voting and getting COVID. It just doesn't happen. So you can be pretty safe when you go to the voting booth. If you absolutely will not go to the voting booth, then you need to contact and get an absentee ballot from your state, fill out that absentee ballot, and then send that in, and you can do that.
Any of these other bullet points you want to talk about? Obviously, talk about voter fraud to others. If you get a phony ballot in the mail, rip it up. How are they even going to know if they get a phony ballot in the mail?
If it's a mail-in ballot, it should say on the outside envelope that it is a mail-in ballot. You don't want to just throw it in the trash because someone could pull it out of your trash and then use it to vote. So that's why you want to rip it up a few times so that it's unusable. But it should be marked on the envelope that it is a mail-in ballot. And again, these are unsolicited. These are ballots that you're not requesting. They're just being mailed to you by your state because they are inducing this mail-in voting. So that's one thing that you can do. But I want to encourage people. I haven't given up. Mm-hmm. I haven't given up. Even though the laws were changed unconstitutionally in a number of states, I am praying and I believe that God can hear our prayer that these lawsuits would be expedited and we could get answers from the court even before the election. I think that it is providential in many ways that we are having this Supreme Court discussion right now. And there is the distinct possibility that Amy Coney Barrett, the president's nominee, will be not only nominated, but will be confirmed prior to the election. Apparently, the president has the votes in the Senate. And we need that because today the court would be a 4-4 decision. We have to have a tiebreaker. So she could be a tiebreaker. That doesn't say how she'll vote. No one knows how she would vote on any issues that would come to the court. But certainly, I think that election law decisions will come to the court, and we have to have a complete odd number on that court of the nine, and I think that she will be confirmed. I think these lawsuits could prevail. I think these states, the mail-in ballots would be construed as ineligible, and so therefore they would only count in-person voting. So again, that's why I would suggest do not do mail-in voting, only do in-person voting. I think it's still entirely possible. God is hearing our prayers, and I am committed. I'm in Washington, D.C. every day. My purpose being here in Washington is to pray. I felt the Lord was calling me here. This is an existential election, meaning will America exist after this election?
That's right.
How
that's,
will we
that's
go
a,
on?
That's a good question.
Very seriously, but yes. I have great hope in the Lord our God, and I am crying out to him as long as many, many other believers are crying out to him for our nation, for this election. And like I said to you, I came to such a place of despair because every hurdle that man was setting up meant that it'd be impossible for Donald Trump to win. But I think that is when God gets the greatest glory. When it is impossible for man, it is possible for God. And I have great belief and great hope that God is going to hear our prayers in this election and show his greatness. We didn't think it was possible in 2016 to see the result we saw. That was miraculous. People said it over and over again. I think this will be an even greater miracle, but I believe that God is capable of overcoming chaos, because where does chaos come from? The evil one.
Evil one.
Does confusion come from? The evil one. And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world.
Absolutely.
And the Bible also says perfect love casts out fear. What's happened in 2020, beloved, because of this pandemic? Fear. Fear has gone into the hearts of even young people. I've never seen young people more fearful from this coronavirus. But perfect love casts out fear. So we don't have to fear. We have no reason to be fearful. So we should stand like the Bible says. He has put our feet on high places. So we should pray from a point of victory, because we're not the ones doing this. God is. And he is worthy of our trust. He can do this with his strong right arm. He is powerful to save. And I believe if we stand on the word of God, and if we are praying according to scripture, like yesterday, I was praying here in Washington according to scripture in the Psalms, when it says the wicked lay a trap and they themselves will fall in it. That's what I'm praying. And we've been praying here for the last month. And we've asked the Lord to expose the hidden deeds of darkness. And Jan, item after item, including this Representative Omar, who is using people to pay people on the streets of Minneapolis for their votes and ballots, that all came out not too long ago. These things are being exposed. Our prayers are being answered, just like the fraud is happening in front of our eyes. So, too, the prayers are being answered in front of our eyes.
I want you to come back next week, at least for a segment of my programming. And I want you to talk about how God is moving, because we've spent an hour this week, and it's troubling. Any listener would acknowledge that some of what you've shared, and I'm glad we're wrapping this up in a very positive note that with God all things are possible. What I want you to share next week is some of the incredible things, the spiritual high that happened, particularly recently in Washington, D.C., and you were very engaged with Franklin Graham, and you even prayed over Vice President Pence.
Some of the incredible things
that are going on in a very wonderful way. My listeners don't have to feel all is lost, that God remains in control. Absolutely, he remains in control. So, folks, we'll pick this up next week, and if we don't spend the whole hour, we'll certainly spend the first half of next week's programming presenting some very encouraging things to you. I want to go out of today's program, and Michelle has encouraged you with her closing thoughts there. I always refer to Psalm 31. I trust in you, O Lord, our times are in your hands. And if we believe that, then we can be at peace in spite of the storms around us, peace amidst the pieces, in other words, in spite of the dark clouds on the horizon, in spite of the winds that threaten to envelop us and dash us to pieces, because only if we believe our times are in his hands, God has everything under control and everything is falling into place, can we have that total peace that indeed things are not falling apart, they are falling into place. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Jesus Redeemer. You might want to consider watching our program on our website under Complete Archives, on our YouTube channel, or on his channel, Christian Television. You encourage us when you write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. And we again remind you that God is in control. Nothing catches him by surprise. You are engraved on the palms of his hands, and everything is falling into place.